We're spending a few weeks together talking about iLife. Discover intentional living. The I stands for intentional. And last week we talked about I worship, how we worship intentionally, on purpose, with a plan and a purpose. This morning I want us to think together about I pray, or praying intentionally. You know, a lot of folks pray on accident. What I mean by that is the storm that is life is beating you up, and the waves are tossing you back and forth, and the lightning of fear is flashing, and the thunder of doubt is rolling, and you're getting tossed back and forth, and you look and your boat is breaking up and you're about to go down, and you scream out, "God, help me." You prayed on accident. It wasn't planned. It wasn't intentional. You had to pray. As your last option, you had to pray. Sometimes maybe a little less serious than that, a little less important, but maybe a little more embarrassing. You're in a group of people, and all of a sudden somebody in the group says, "Hey, why don't you lead us in prayer?" It can be a little bit tough when we only pray accidentally instead of praying intentionally, regularly, all the time. It can be a little bit unnerving, and it can get us in trouble when we pray on accident. Let me show you just one example of what I mean.
Good afternoon, sisters. I apologize for my tardiness. I would like you to welcome a new member to our house, Sister Mary Clarence. Mary Clarence comes to us from a somewhat progressive convent. However, she is eager to embrace a more disciplined life, and I am sure will make every effort to conform to our ways.
I'll do my best.
Would you like to be seated?
Thank you.
Yes, Mary Patrick.
Reverend Mother, on behalf of all the sisters here at St. Catherine's, I'd like to offer a great big hi there and hello to Sister Mary Clarence. Hi. And as part of the welcome, I thought that maybe our new sister could offer today's blessing.
Well, that is very thoughtful of you, Mary Patrick, but I really...
Oh, I could do that. Sure. Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we're about to receive. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of no food, I will fear no hunger. We want you to give us this day our daily bread, and to the republic for which it stands, and by the power invested in me, I pronounce us ready to eat. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated.
Praying on an accident can get us in trouble. Therefore, we want to learn to pray intentionally. To help us with that, turn in your scripture to James 5. If you have your copy of the scriptures with you, turn in your Bible to James 5, beginning at verse 13. James gives us some wonderful instruction about praying intentionally, making prayer a part of our everyday lives and who we are, making prayer a part of what it means to be a believer, a child of God, what it means to be someone who has faith. James chapter 5, we want to begin at verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. He uses Elijah as an example, as an illustration, if you will, of the statement that is the crux of this whole passage in verse 16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. There are a couple of things in that statement that you want to be sure and be aware of. He says the effective prayer. In other words, there are prayers that are not effective. There are those accidental prayers where we're just kind of stuck in a situation and all we know to do is holler out for help, or just to kind of to limp our way through some kind of a public prayer. It's those times when we have to pray, but it's not going to be effective because it wasn't intentional. He says the effective prayer of a righteous man. And that gives us a hint toward the other thing that we need to catch on to there. Effective praying from righteous people is powerful. When we pray for selfish things, when we pray out of selfish motives, when we pray prayers that are not in line with God's will, then we should not expect him to forsake his will, to set aside his plan, and to choose something that is less than the best for us or our life or his glory and give it to us just because we asked for it. See, it is the effective prayer of a righteous person, someone in tune and in touch with God's will, because they will be praying according to his will, and then we can expect that their prayer will be effective and accomplish much. Well, how does one do that? How do you pray intentionally, as is described in James in that passage? How do we go about that? One poet, one author, I think, asked that question well. What is the right way to pray? The proper way for men to pray, said Deacon Samuel Keyes, at least the best for me, is down upon my knees. Oh, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with arms outstretched and rapt and unturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. That past posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head serenely bowed. Seems to me his hands should be serenely clasped in front, both thumbs pointed toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. I fell in Hitchkin's well the other day, head first, said Willie Brown. Both my feet was a-sticking up and my head was a-sticking down. I prayed a prayer right then and there, the best prayer I ever prayed. The prayingest prayer I ever prayed, I was standing on my head. So prayer is not so much about the posture. Matter of fact, we find all of those examples and many more in Scripture. We find kneeling, we find standing, we find walking. We find people who have laid out flat on the ground, face to the dirt as they pray. We find people who pray with their hands up in the air. David was dancing while he was praying. We find all kinds of postures in Scripture. And so it's not so much about the posture of the body, is it? It's so much more about the posture of the heart and the mind. When we pray, is the mind focused and is the heart humbled? That's when we find effective prayer. So let's think together this morning about praying intentionally and how one does that. First, to pray intentionally, we pray with confidence. When we pray intentionally, we pray with confidence. I remember when I was in junior high school, I wanted something, and I don't remember now what it was, but I wanted something during class, and I went up to the teacher, and I said, "You wouldn't let me do so-and-so, would you?" And the teacher said, "Well, no, since you asked it that way, I'm going to say you're right. I won't let you do so-and-so." And I learned in that experience that in that case, I don't want to be right. In that case, I want to be confident. I want to say, this is something I need, something I want, and I'm coming to you because you're the person that I go to for this. Can I do this? There's a confidence. In prayer, we have the confidence of knowing that our loving Heavenly Father wants only the best for us and that He is able to accomplish whatever is within His plan and His purpose for our lives. You remember he was talking to the folks one day and he said, "Hey, you dads, which one of you dads, if your kid came up and asked for bread, which one of you would give him a rock instead? If one of them asked for fish, which one of you would give him a snake?" Well, none of y'all would do that because that's not the kind of things dads do. And he said, "Now, if you, being fallen, evil, messed up human beings, give what's best to your kids, don't you think the perfect, holy, heavenly Father who makes no mistakes would give even best to His kids?" We can pray with confidence, knowing that He hears, that He answers, that He cares. In 1 John chapter 5, we read, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." You see, when we pray intentionally, we make prayer a part of our lives, and we intentionally pray each and every day. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Why? Because we ask for it, partially, but also because we ask for it according to His will. It was already what He wanted. So as we learn more about Him, we are better equipped to ask within His will. And when we ask within His will, we know that we can have what we ask for. We can pray with confidence. He will answer. We must ask in His will and not ours. God gives us the desire for the things He wants in our lives. He changes our desires for the things that He wants in our lives, thereby enabling us to pray with confidence. The second way that we can pray intentionally is that we can pray with correct motives. We pray with correct motives. The reason that money did not just magically appear in my wallet was because I was praying out of selfish motives. I was being immature. God, give me, give me, give me. When we pray with correct motives, the right reasons, God honors that kind of praying. In James 4, he says, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." There's nothing wrong with having stuff. That's not what this is saying. What it is saying is if you pray for your own selfish pleasures, then you shouldn't expect God to jump just because you said jump. You see, if God always did everything we asked Him to do, we would be God and He would be our servant. And it doesn't work that way. He is God. We are the servant. Therefore, we ask, He will give us those things that fit in His timetable, that fit according to His will and His purposes. We've got to pray out of the right motives. What are your motives when you pray? Do you pray so that God can receive glory? Do you pray so that you can be within His will and His purpose? Do you pray so that life will be easy and you can get the stuff you want? You see, it's all about praying with correct motives. Dad was walking down the hall late one evening, preparing for bed, and he was so proud. He looked in his little boy's bedroom, and the little boy was kneeling by his bedside saying his bedtime prayers. And that makes a parent so proud when you see that little one praying to God. Dad couldn't help himself, so he snuck into the doorway a little bit to listen in. And that boy was praying. He said, "Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo." Dad couldn't figure that out, so he had to go on in. He went in and interrupted the boy. He said, "What are you praying about?" The little boy said, "Ever since my geography test today, I've been asking God to make Tokyo the capital of France." And it doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way when our motives are off. When our motives are about self, we can't expect the answer we want. We pray with confidence, knowing that He is able and willing. We pray also with correct motives. We pray that He would be glorified and that His will would be accomplished. And then we pray with commitment. In order to pray intentionally, we learn to pray with commitment. We say, "I'm going to keep on praying. I'm not going to quit because I don't have what I've been asking for. It might be a timing thing. It might be a misunderstanding on my part. It might be I don't yet know God's will. I don't know, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep asking." In Matthew chapter 7 at verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." And that verse brings us such comfort and joy knowing that He cares enough to answer. But what we miss in that verse is what the Greeks heard when that verse was spoken and written. When it was written in the New Testament and the folks read what Jesus had said, they saw, "Keep on asking and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you." It's a present tense of the verb and it shows a continuous action. You ask and you keep on asking. You seek and you keep on seeking. You knock and you keep on knocking. The emphasis on this verse is not ask and you'll get it. The emphasis in this verse is you don't give up. You don't quit. You keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You keep on showing that complete commitment. Some of you have been praying for a loved one, someone in your family, someone who doesn't know the Lord, or maybe they knew the Lord and walked away. For one reason or another, you hurt because you know that your loved one is not right with them, with God. And you've been praying for years for that loved one. And I want to say to you, don't stop. It's easy for us to pray 10 years and say, "Okay, well, I guess nothing's going to happen." We can pray 15 years and say, "Well, I give up. It's too late." And I'm going to say to you, based on Scripture, if you're praying for the spiritual well-being of someone else, don't stop. You keep on asking. You keep on seeking. You keep on knocking. The same thing is true for your personal spiritual well-being. If you are not where you need to be spiritually, you're not where you want to be. Something is missing. Something's not clicking between you and God. You feel your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and coming back at you. What do? You don't stop. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. It is that commitment that makes that prayer fervent and powerful. It is that kind of commitment that is necessary for intentional life of prayer. There's the magazine cartoon that shows a little boy kneeling beside his bed for his bedtime prayer. And he says with some disgust, "Dear God, Uncle Jim still doesn't have a job. Sis still doesn't have a date for the prom. Grandma is still feeling sick, and I'm tired of praying for this family and not getting results." Have you been there? Are you there now? I'm tired of praying and not getting results. Hear me. If you're praying with confidence, that means faith, knowing that God is able and willing. And if you're praying with the right motives, His will, His purposes, His glory, if those two things are right, then you pray with commitment and you don't stop. You keep praying. You keep trusting. You keep knocking. And don't give up. Father, we thank You for the wonderful, powerful gift of prayer. Forgive us for the times that we've been bad stewards of that gift. We've taken it for granted. We've misused it. We've abused it. We've neglected it. We confess to You now that most of our lives are not spent intentionally praying. We pray when we have to, when we need to. We confess to You now that in that way we have been selfish. As we confess these things, we immediately ask forgiveness for them. Lord, we pray that You would make us an intentionally praying people. Help us, Lord, that we would have a desire within to spend time with You, to talk to You, to, as Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Just to always be in an attitude of prayer. God, help us to find that intentional lifestyle of prayer. We pray as well that You'd forgive us for the other sins of our lives, the sin of selfishness, the sins of pride, sin of failure to obey, the disobedience. Father, help us to spend some time now getting those things right with You, that we would really trust You and follow You. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts and minds right now, that before we leave this place today, we can know that we're right with You. Pray in Jesus' name.